Welcome to the Young Crones Cafe, where you can get a magic brew full of all sorts of information, both witchy and practical.
Grab a cup of coffee and join us. I'm Elizabeth, a wordsmith.
And I'm Dave, a modern-day sage.
We are going to talk about various witchcraft and life topics from a slightly more mature perspective, at least most of the time.
Thanks for joining us.
Today's metaphysical kernel of thought is cleansing as a personal blessing. Cleansing in general is often considered any process that gets rid of energy attached to a person, place, or thing and renders it neutral or devoid of any energy except what naturally occurs in the person, place, or thing. The idea is to get rid of the energetic gunk that naturally attaches to a person throughout the day, or remove personally overwhelming emotions, or even old, stale energies from a place. We try not to attach the word negative to these energetic attachments, but consider them as energies that are not our own. We on the path consider it more a blessing of ourselves, or of a place where we can then fill up by creating a sacred space where ritual and or magic can occur. We also will bless ourselves with four physical elements at the start of a ritual as a way to clear away thoughts of the mundane and allow us to focus on the magical using a representation of each. The most common items we use are an herbal cleansing stick of some kind to represent the element of air, smoke, which is lit with the flame from a small candle to represent the element of fire. We prepare a bowl of water to represent the element of water, which has salt mixed in, and sage leaves floating to represent the element of earth. We also do not restrict this blessing work to ritual situations. There are times when we arrive home from being out and about and just feel off somehow. A quick mental run through asking the blessings of the elements can usually reset our personal energies to where they need to be, allowing us to better transition from one space to another.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Elizabeth. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, actually. I've got people home from college briefly. I had one of his home till Monday, and now he's back, but he was local, so that's easy. And we're working on figuring out how to get Michaela back prior to the start of the actual solstice day, because everything's shutting down. All the major roads.
You mean the eclipse?
Eclipse. Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm tired. The eclipse is coming.
Sure.
You know, and it's a big deal here where we live because we're apparently in like the actual path.
Yep.
And it may even be sunny on Monday.
Yep.
Not holding my breath. But
have you ever had the opportunity to see a total eclipse?
Not a total one, but a most of one.
Okay.
You know, so I'm kind of looking.
I was fortunate enough to be able to see one at sea years ago. And in one aspect, it's just 10 minutes of, hey, that looks really neat. But in another aspect, I can remember the day well enough to know that it was somehow a moving experience to see that. So,
yeah.
I hope everyone that gets the opportunity to come and see it travels safely. I hope everybody is as good as they can be to each other on the roads and whatnot.
Yeah, and it's got the right glasses for the soul to observe it.
Yep.
Because there's always some doofus who's like, oh, we don't need glasses. Yes, you do. You really do.
I'm just going to leave that alone.
Yeah, we will. You know,
I had a poster of a very, very famous example of that very behavior.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if you get a chance to see it on Monday and you saw it years ago at sea when you were not a practicing witch, if the experience is going to be different for you this time.
Well, I would have to say the experience would be different for me anyway, just for the sheer fact of another, you know, 25 or 30 years of experience and time and whatnot.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was actually a peak time in my life when I was studying a bunch of different world spiritualities and religions and whatnot. So I would have seen it mostly for its symbolic rarity. Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
Okay, we're talking about the idea of cleansing and blessing very often in terms of starting a ritual or you move into a new space or something similar. They talk about, oh, you need to cleanse the energy, like the world's going to end kind of thing. Or you have to get rid of all of that negative crap in order to...
Oh, so yeah, break out the sage sticks and do the whole cleansing thing. Gotcha.
Exactly. And well, the sage sticks and everything is, when you think about it, that whole cleansing idea is specific to a culture that I'm not part of.
Sure.
It's been appropriated and misused in a lot of ways when you think about it. And Sue and I thought about it and we're like, we don't cleanse to get rid of stuff. We cleanse to kind of take that. What we're trying to do is take that moment to reset and focus on what we're doing. Like if we do something, it's part of the brain switch that we talk about to get ready to do ritual.
Okay.
And yes, we do something with the four elements, but what we're really asking is to be blessed by them so that we can focus on the spiritual. We're not asking the elements or whatever we're doing to get rid of something negative, because that's not how we view sacred space. If I'm walking through the world and at sacred spaces all around me, I'm not picking up negative stuff. All I'm doing is, for want of a better word, jostling my energy in different ways through my interactions with people or being in a different space or whatever, so that my baseline is not where I want it. My baseline is a little bit out of whack.
Okay.
So if I bless myself and ask, take that moment to really focus on what I'm doing, I reset my baseline energy. If I move into a new space and I sweep the energy out the door and it gets rid of stale energy, I don't think stale energy is negative energy. It's just negative. It's just energy that hasn't been worked with or enjoyed for a while. And if I move things around and open the doors and let fresh air in, I'm going to get rid of all that stale stuff. So we stop thinking of it as cleansing and really started to use the word blessing.
Okay, so just based on the reading, I was uncertain in that there's actually two different contexts here. The cleansing is when you're talking about a space, and what I sort of see as cleaning the whiteboard.
Yeah, exactly.
When I go into a new meeting room, I don't know how much notes that the last person who used the meeting room has used. It's not important. Even if the whiteboard is blank, I will go hit the whiteboard with an eraser and just sort of neaten it up so there is a, quote, clean slate for thought to happen.
Yes, exactly.
So I see that form of cleansing. The personal blessing, kind of into the next paragraph, that I've seen and practiced both with you and Susie and on my own, of having the four elements there to sort of ritually transition myself into that space. To me, I almost conflate that with anointing. And I realize that there really is a difference, but to me, not for nothing, when I do the water and the salt and the smoke, and a lot of times what I include is that I'll touch my forehead with a drop of essential oil, do the whole third eye thing, because the oil will glisten, for the next while I'll have that physical sensation to remind me. And so in that space, I sort of feel anointed. Or and blessed.
Yeah, exactly. And we get to do it to ourselves. I think that's a big piece.
Well, what I wanted to mention there is there's sort of an in-between that, and I tried this practice. I started it as a tip, trick, or witchy hint months and months ago, where I started off with finding a time during my day that I was the most calm and relaxed and what it was right after I got out of my morning shower, when I was just feeling absolutely top notch. And I sprayed myself down with a spray that I didn't normally use, something different. And I did that every day for a moon or a month. And then I took that spray to work with me. And what I would use it for was when I would have an interaction that left me feeling frazzled or uncomfortable or
jangled,
unclean or jangled or however you want to describe it. I would go over and squirt a couple of shots of that spray on my shirt or on my work apron. And because of the strength that we have with memory and the power of smell, I could immediately get sort of a hit of that fresh out of the shower, fresh to my day. And so that spray, I called it my sanity spray.
Which makes perfect sense.
Right now, a very dear friend of mine is working on some different magnesium sprays and whatnot, to, and using those almost like sort of like a self-saging. In that context, just here again, I'm done with work, Dave, and I'm ready to be home, Dave, or whatever change in context or change in persona or change in space that you're trying to celebrate and have some feedback for it. I like the idea of having the spray sort of as in between clearing out a space and setting myself up to sort of feel almost like clergy is where I feel when I'm anointed. I'm, for lack of a better word, I might as well be in robes.
Yeah,
when, I get when it. I'm at that end state. So the spray for me is just sort of a way to get a balance in between of, you know, I'm not here to perform a hand fasting, but I also am the guy that could.
Yeah, exactly. I get it. And I think that's part of it. When you stop thinking of it in terms of what I have to get rid of, in
that right.
I am resetting myself. I am blessing myself to put myself in that ritual frame of mind. When you when you were spraying yourself down, you're not changing your circumstances or where you are. You're resetting your base levels to feel your best.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what I mean. Yeah. When
I'm just reminding myself of whatever cliche or whatever word you want to put to it, but I'm sure there are people that would have experience where if they attached a chant or a mantra to the spraying, it would be even more powerful.
Sure.
You know, body, mind, spirit. I am a spiritual being having a human experience, you know, any one of those things. If you said something like that while you are applying the spray or what have you, you know, adding in, I'm a big believer in adding in more senses seems to provide more energy, at least in Dave.
I think that's one of the reasons we like using the four elements. Because it appeals to all of our senses in that respect. Because you have the burning herb stick or the incense. It's that sense of smell, and you see the smoke rising. And when the candle is burning, you kind of hear the flicker. And you see the flame.
Sure. And you feel its heat even at a distance. We perceive that.
When you touch the water, and it's a different sensation. And like you said, when you anoint yourself with water, often when we do the blessing, we don't worry about the oil because we have the water, which to us is sacred because now we put salt in it, which gives you the earth and the water together, which is kind of like our whole planet in that respect. Sure. And we throw in the sacred sage, which Sue grew by the trash bag.
Bushel full.
So it was a big, giant, lauded leaf bag full. There was no bushels involved. So
honey, I still have jars of sage.
I know. But we always had a plethora of sage.
Yes.
So for us, it was kind of in don't take yourself so seriously, find mirth and reverence while you're doing all this stuff moment. Throw the sacred sage and the cleansing water, the blessing
water. When we first when we first moved into the property, I was the smart ass that said, hey, I kind of like the smell of that mint. Oh, dear.
Really should not say things like that.
My neighbors hate me.
Yeah, I know. It's taking over. There's certain plants to do. But the whole point is you find the combination of things that you want to use to bless yourself with. If you need to spray yourself down like you do, you know, you want to reset yourself to your baseline energy, especially when starting ritual. You don't want to...
It's a running joke with me at work anyway that anytime someone makes any form of a bodily function noise,
yep,
that isn't recognizable as English.
Yes, okay, yeah, all right, that's fine.
We have a belcher amongst us.
Yes.
Loud and playful. Mm-hmm. And so I always say, you know, bless you. And it's gotten to be a thing week in and week out. You know, I hear a belch, I say, bless you. I hear a belch, I say, bless you. The other day, the poor young lady sneezed, and I just did not know what to say.
Same words apply in that respect, you know. But, yeah, but you understand what I am saying. The idea is somehow, if you look historically at certain...
Well, and you make a great point that if we're trying to get rid of a bunch of negative, or if we're trying to do that,
we're not trying to do ritual anyway.
Let's just clear it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and for us, you not only do we try, we're not surrounded by negative as much as certain branches of witchcraft would have us believe.
Well, we tend to drag around our own intrinsic spark of the divine that says that we live in a bubble of good.
Yeah, exactly. In that respect and on the path. And I think that's one of the best things that we figured out is you're not under psychic attack all the time. Sometimes it's just crap happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so many witches get the idea that...
Not cursed. It's just Thursday.
Or whatever. Or Tuesday, or, you know, Friday the 13th is not the original bad luck day, you know, kind of.
It's interesting trivia. My sweet mom and dad were married on a Friday the 13th.
My dad was born on a Friday the 13th, so how lucky did that make our family?
Right, right.
You know, it's the same idea, though. You know, we start to associate certain things with negativity or bad or evil or horrible when it's not. And sometimes it's just energy, and energy, quite frankly, is neutral in that respect. You know, and if I'm feeling jangled, it's me feeling jangled. And if I want to get better than word in the right frame of mind to enjoy the ritual experience, I can bless myself. And by blessing myself, I reset my own energy.
I'm going to read right directly from the book here. There are times when we arrive home from being out and about and just feel off somehow. A quick mental run through asking the blessing of the elements can usually reset our personal energies to where they need to be, allowing us to better transition from one space to another.
Enough said.
I think that seems to be the theme of today is honoring, understanding, and practicing transitions from context to context. That seems to be woven through most of the discussions we've had today.
I think so. That and it's how we look at things that make them have the focus they have, I think, more than anything else. We look at the world in terms of the magical, where other people think in terms of the negative and the horrible.
Well, I like to think that you and I are both sort of the kind of people that aren't looking in every corner for a monster. You know, the universe has enough bad luck out there for us. I don't go looking for
beasties. I don't think it's necessarily bad luck. Sometimes shit just happens.
Sure.
And that's part of the order of the universe. This shit happens. And it's how
I look at it this way. If shit had not happened, I would not be here to be able to share this conversation with y'all.
Me either. You know, and I think we tend to attach positive and negative things, meanings to things, when we shouldn't. That sometimes shit just happens, and there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Sometimes it is, in fact, just a cigar. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, which is a famous take on Sigmund Freud, which is a whole other misogynist issue. So we'll move on from that one. You know.
Yeah, let's do a quick three breaths here to get rid of all of that there.
So, yeah. But, I mean, I can go around looking for trouble. I'll find it. But today, I'd rather sit back and just breathe and enjoy the fact that life is going pretty good today.
I just love the idea that I have come to a point in my life where I can enjoy and take a little bit of delight in, you know, concocting some sort of odd spray and then using it to make my day better. When I was, God, I couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 years old, and I invented the solution to the universe's problems. It was ant killer. I know, it was terrible. I was a monster. And what it was 3 drops of dish soap in water. And I went up and down the block, and I sold literally cases of this stuff to the sweet older people in my neighborhood.
Yeah, they probably got such a kick out of you coming to the door and trying
Absolutely.
And earning your own money kind of thing. But the whole idea is part of all of that stuff that we do, the self-blessing and the little ritual things all day long, it takes us back to that sense of it was real when we were kids.
Well, the whole problem was a week later when I ran out and my dad showed me that you killed just as many ants with just water. The dish soap was just to make it do rainbows.
Well, there you go. Whatever.
I was like, oh, great. So I'm drowning ants and people already have water and my sales just plummeted.
Well, of course they did. But, you know, it's that whole idea of sometimes you got to just recognize that the world is not out to get you.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you're just the ant and there's water.
Exactly. There's, you know, obviously.
That was a weird rabbit hole we just went down.
No, but it's a good way to add stuff in that respect because it's funny.
Well, if nothing else after that, I think I need to go spray myself down.
Well, why not? You know, go find your spray and relish
it. Oh, goodness.
Just don't forget to take a shower in the morning and you'll be great.
Cleansing it. Well, and that was, I'm glad you said the word shower. Bring me back from the edge here.
That's okay.
Cleansing as a personal blessing. When I saw that was going to be the topic that we were talking about, another time that I tend to do the body, mind, spirit is when I do my weekly bath.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times I'll take a crystal or something with me. But I'm sitting in a bowl of water, and so with a candle and an incense in the bathroom for half an hour, I have all of my elements.
Yeah.
And in that point in my time, it's even when I do what's called a spiritual shower, and it's a regular shower, but I do take the time to do the body, mind, and soul and sort of clean myself inside and out and get to that space where I sort of feel like I'm glowing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a very powerful blessing in just taking a hot bath or a shower.
I think so. And I think one of the reasons that Sue and I always used to like to do that blessing is it makes that beacon of my inner spark of the divine shine a little brighter. At the start of ritual.
Sure, absolutely.
I might as well find the...
Get the lantern glowing, absolutely.
Exactly, yes, thank you for getting that reference.
Yeah, well, so, and bring the light of Gnosis.
As much as we can. usually, hopefully self-hypnosis more than anything else.
Right.
You know, and with that being said, are you, anything else you want to add? Or are you good?
Only just a teaser in that earlier I do that card from the Witchstones Oracle deck because I've sort of gotten sloppy for a while, and so I've kind of been carrying it around with me and trying to get back into the habit of using it and whatnot. And before we talked, I drew a card for us tonight, mm-hmm. and it was Layers and Levels. Yeah. And it's interesting because most of the conversations that we've been having have had sort of a surface layer and then a magical layer and then almost a profound layer or a pure spirit, fifth dimensional kind of layer.
Yeah, to me, when we get beyond like the surface, which is the intellect piece, the mind, the mundane, and we get to the magical, and when you get to what you call the profound layer, it's just kind of put the two together.
Sure.
And now it makes sense.
Yep.
Practices in the path. These are the hows and whats that we, as practitioners on the path, actually do in our own lives. Everything from the various tools that we work with, as well as those we don't and why, to the solar and lunar cycles, herbs we use, crystals and stones that we work with, candles, incenses, and anything else we come up with that can give an understanding of what we personally do with our magical practices. In other words, what we do when we say what we do, we're going to do something more than anything else, and it is what we do when we do it.
I love it.
Those little everyday practices that we do for whatever reason.
Well, and when I started to do my little bit of homework on this, I realized that the stuff we're talking about today are the things that sort of make me who I am when I say to someone in passing that I'm a witch. I mean, it's not what I call myself. It's what I believe and what I do. And when I started making the little list of things, you know, it's funny, you and I have a history of you'll bring up a concept and I'll say, I don't really do that. And then by the end of the episode, have realized that I've done that thing all along. I just never really saw it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. Here again, this is one of those things where when I really started to look at and try to document, I mean, in the first hour of my day, I identified like 11 different little spells or rituals that I do. I mean, I do one when I pack my over-the-shoulder bag. I do one when I get ready to go out the door to the bus stop. I do one when I lock the door and step away from my house. And so, yeah, this is kind of a neat way for us to talk about those things that we do so often that we're not necessarily mindlessly doing them, but we are doing them as a self-comforting and self-soothing and self-actualizing thing.
Yeah, and like I said, it reminds us when we look at the list that, damn, we are witches.
Yeah, right?
Look at all the cool stuff we're doing. And one of the things that on the path is we work on that attitude of mindfulness a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, okay, we've got a small issue going on. Why is it that as witches, we don't think of them, look at the magical possibilities for the solutions along with the mundane stuff? It's like we wrote a quick spell, Sue and I, because one of us was always misplacing things like car keys.
Sure.
Okay, so I can sit here and curse because I can't find where someone has, and it's usually not me, but someone has moved the keys from where I put them so I knew where I left them. It gives us that way, and I find some of them very reassuring because there's a sameness to them. I do the same thing in the same way, and my life goes better.
Well, and I had completely forgotten about some of them, like when I take an Uber, I tapped the door handle three times before I get into the car, and I had forgotten even that I was doing that. But that's my get me and my rider here with safely and, you know, just sort of a safe travels thing. You know, and I have a habit every time I get out of the car, you know, to turn and say to them, you be safe today. Mm-hmm. It's part of the energy that I want to interchange with the universe. Yeah. I mean, I put a little energy on my door lock, partly to say, keep my house safe, but as much to say, I'm really, really grateful that I have a house to lock up and to go to, you know, go to work and know that it will really likely be there when I come home. So there's a lot more meaning behind the simple little three taps and the little gestures that we do that you could write two or three pages of ritual around what that small gesture that we have sort of honed and refined as part of our day-to-day activities.
Condensed.
Yeah.
Is a good word, I think. Because it doesn't have to be. I think that's the other thing when we start talking about this stuff and people are like, really? That's all you do? But we've distilled it down to its essence. So it has that meaning. It's like I get up every morning and when I have time and energy and conscious thought, I will light a candle, like little tea light next to my coffee maker. And while the coffee's brewing, I will focus on the fact that day's beginning and I have, you know, a way to set my intent. I'm going to try to live my day aware of the magical and the mundane within and without and around me. Mm-hmm. And go forth and walk with that awareness. Okay. And other days, I will stand there in front of the coffee maker and breathe in the scent of coffee and think, oh, thank God, there's coffee. And then just stir my coffee in either a clockwise if I need to draw something to me that I know I need to get through the day, or something counterclockwise if I don't want to deal with some sort of problem that day, and that's it.
So referencing a recent episode, you're putting some finger in your magic. There you go.
Pretty much. Same idea, but you get the point. You know, and that's kind of how I make a point to start every day. And some days it's the quote-unquote fancier version.
Mm-hmm.
And other days it's, oh my God, I need the coffee.
Sure, absolutely.
It's a quick version. You know, and that's kind of how I start my day. And you were referencing when you leave, you draw a symbol on your doorknob.
Yep.
Yeah.
Something that I've been working on recently is when I change context. In other words, if I, you know, say I've been at work for a few hours or wherever, when I then go to, we have a different location. So when I then move to that different location where I'm going to be there for a couple hours, I'm trying to teach myself to take a minute to do just the three breaths for body, mind, and spirit. Say, okay, this is an opportunity for me to step forward, grounded from this moment in this new environment, and accept what's going to happen in this moment.
In the best spirit possible sometimes.
And I do that when I come in the door at night. You know, as soon as I close, I take my jacket off and I just take a minute and take those three breaths and acknowledge that, okay, I'm now in this environment. And I, you know, just sort of resetting. And I caught myself doing it right before we recorded tonight because, you know, I sort of changed the mode of the basement studio here from musician into podcast,
as it were.
So when I make those little changes, I take that three breaths to have myself in the proper body, mind, spirit to share bits and pieces with Elizabeth.
Yeah, those transitional moments is a good way to describe those. I think we all have things that we do, or at least I do. I tend to find talking about the three breaths when I find myself getting off track, like my emotions are too much because for whatever reason, usually not a great one, you know, or I've been writing for the last 2 hours and I need a break because my characters are winning and I'm not, you know, any of those times.
I've tried to interact with you on those days. I understand just what you mean.
Yeah, I'm not all there sometimes, you know. I mean, I'm here, but I'm not here because this is crazy. But as a writer,
well, to steal a saying from Susie, you're half astral at that point.
Well, I don't know if it's half astral or half in another universe entirely, because my characters talk to me when I'm writing in that respect. It's like I know how they sound and I know what they would say and wouldn't say, or would do and wouldn't do in a lot of instances. And if I'm pushing them in a direction that they're not necessarily, they don't necessarily fit initially, there may be some blowback mentally on my end. It's okay, it'll be fine. But what I mean is when I'm sort of, okay, off balance, I guess this is the best way to describe it. When I know one part of me is winning too much, like my emotions, my body, mind, spirit, I'm either like really tired or I've been thinking too much when I get writing or whatever, and I need to kind of reset, I will do that body, the three breaths. I'll sure. take a moment and consciously say, okay, I need to take a step back. Need a better moment to manage before I say something I will deeply regret to a teenager, thereby precipitating an all-out war, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, and for me, just sort of a self-soothing mechanism is to Please. Sort of whisper to myself that this is a moment, this is not forever. You so know, I am not going to feel this way
ever again.
This is just a moment, breathe. There's another moment coming. One of these is bound to be better than the one that we're in.
This too shall pass. Yeah,
no, absolutely. Yeah, that's just
the whole idea. But to keep it fun and things we do every day when I settle into write, I changed the calendar page because I have my antacid and that almost makes me giggle.
Right, right.
So it lightens me up there. I have in front of me my crystal ball that my grandson gave me, and it makes me smile. And I have to make sure it doesn't get in the sun because it will set things on fire for me. You know, and then I have my point of calligraphy stone.
Right.
That I will sit there with for a minute or two and say, okay.
It's sort of ironic that I say the word right when you mention a calligraphy stone. There's a little bit of a homonym play on words going on there.
in the same idea, but it's a mini.
I mean, you get the point, right?
Oh, haha. Okay. Yes, our sarcasm knows our satire and irony and metaphor. You and I could play games with language all day, and you know it.
So anyway, back to your desk.
Yeah,
you have rituals in the things on your desk, and I get that because I'm the same way. Sure.
Oh, I do. And then I am ready to write. And when I am done, I kind of look and say, okay, the calligraphy stone's there for tomorrow and everything's where it's going to be for tomorrow. And I make sure that because I'm on the computer writing, but I have little notes for things that I just wrote about or that I may need to find, like the last name of this passing character for 10 chapters from now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll write it down on one of my little pieces of paper. And I have a particular box that they all get stored in. So anything that is related to the novel, it's getting a little full, but it's never going to get dumped out. I'll keep squashing stuff down in so that they're all there.
One day you will form a neutron star.
Anything is possible.
With all of the energy that you put into that collected body of works that you have. Absolutely.
I'm just having a ball writing. I mean, you've been reading my short stories, which picks up my whole day. Because, I mean, when I started writing these, let's be honest, I did not picture a man who I know likes spy novels and things getting such a kick out of these stories. Let's be honest about that one. You know?
Yeah, I am kind of a Tom Clancy submarine warfare old school Navy kind of guy.
But you like that kind of story. So this was, you were not exactly my target audience here.
But I'm so enjoying the reading out of my normal pocket. And the stories are fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Each one of them that I've read so far. And of course, we're teasing an upcoming book, so we're just being mean here, folks. But each of the stories that I've read so far have been vivid enough that I have a mental picture. We just happened to be talking today at work about your aphantasia. But I have a mental picture and a voice for each of the characters that you've had me read so far. So just by reading those 5 or 6 pages that you're passing along to me, those characters are well enough developed that they have personality.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, considering someday when we're looking for filler, we get off on tangents, you and I will have a discussion about the hot pink and how crazy that made me, but it'll all be fine. But for me too, one thing that I made a conscious effort to do when I sit down to eat or drink like a major meal, the water, I have an awareness of, especially when I'm cooking or eating food, before I eat, I'll sit there and think about for a minute all the different things that came together so that I could eat what I wanted to eat.
I've been doing that myself lately. I mean, it's a, I call it grace.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a habit that takes me back to when I was 10 or 12, but I sincerely, you know, somebody had to work for me to have this. I remind myself as often as I can that I didn't have to walk 5 miles with a bucket to get water today. Before meals has been one for me recently where I've just take a minute to pause and take that quick 3 breaths just to know there's meaning here. It's not just fuel.
No, it's not. And
I think the stuff tastes better if you
acknowledge.
Well, I wanted to say pray over it, but you know.
No, but you know, I know what you acknowledge it.
Sure.
That it took effort on by a whole bunch of people, and that includes the truck driver, the delivery.
Not for nothing, I live in the first world. I had a menu and choices and stuff. It wasn't feed me.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. You know what you could find in a garbage dump somewhere. You know, kind of.
So back to just our practicing practices. Mm-hmm. Do you have any end of day or bedtime kind of things that you would call magical moments?
Yeah, for one thing,
because that's really kind of what when it boils down to what we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah.
Today is magical moments that we have sort of woven into our everyday practice.
Well, for me, end of day is I will sit there on the side of the bed. I will make sure all the electronics are turned off so they don't bing, whir, carry on, etc. And I will take those 3 breaths and say, okay, I am going to rest now. My day is done. Anything that I want to worry about is for tomorrow kind of thing. And this is where I will take 5 minutes and write stuff down. Like everything I can think of that I know I'm supposed to be doing tomorrow.
Okay,
because that way when I get in, when I'm done, I know that the list is there. So that if my brain starts to whir while I'm laying there relaxing with what do I have to do tomorrow, I'm like, nope, I got the list. It's done.
That's fascinating. You and I are just using different mechanisms, but performing the same thing because part of my, I mean, I have a shut down the house ritual. Mm-hmm. That I'll get back to, but at that last moment at bedtime, I intentionally think my way through tomorrow, and anything that I feel like I'm going to need as a reminder, I have my Google Assistant, and I say, set a reminder for this time, set a reminder for this time, set a reminder for this time, mm-hmm. and I get them all done.
Yeah.
For that same reason, so that a half an hour later when I'm laying there and I'm trying to worry about what's going on tomorrow. No, that has been resolved.
Yeah, it's
think about the breeze that you hear moving the blinds back and forth.
Exactly.
Think about the sound of the wind, or think about something that's happening now.
How about the peace and quiet?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And once I manage to shut my brain down like that, I find I'm more obsessed less and I worry less.
Well, and I have struggled, I'm sure you heard it from for years, but I've struggled with things like, you know, did I lock the back door? Did I turn off the things or whatnot? And I think I shared in one of the I think it was in put some a finger in your magic. I realize I'm right on the border there.
Yeah, it's okay.
But I think it was that one where I have sort of a shutdown that I spiral my way up to the bedroom. And when I set or make sure the door is locked, I now physically touch it. Because it gives me, okay, now I can remember touching it when I get upstairs. I'll know that I touched it. I don't have to go back upstairs and question and worry.
Yeah, exactly. And we get
then as I work my way up the stairs, I sort of try to leave the world.
You let it go.
You know, and then I try to isolate to where by the time I'm in my room, it's almost as if I'm in a bathysphere, you know, a little bubble.
Uh-huh. Your bubble, you're in your sanctuary in that respect.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing I like is I can't visualize, but I have taught myself with like certain outgoing breaths, knowing I am creating that bubble around me when I need to kind of take a break from the world.
Sure.
When I'm out and about and it's like crowds and there's just too much noise and too many people. And I have to be there. I can make that bubble.
You can turn that bubble or aura up or whatever to push people back and give you some space when you need to. Absolutely.
Yeah, in that respect, yeah. But to me, it's more of, okay, I am here. You can interact with me. But I have my little bubble, and I'm okay now, kind of thing. And I think a lot of people, not just witches, have that feeling. That sometimes things are overwhelming, but there are also things that I do that I find are fun. It's like I have to make sure that because otherwise I will get caught up in being on the computer and 6 hours will go by and, you know, nothing else has been done, but I'm having fun in that respect mostly. There's a lot of cursing going on when I write, but I have fun in general. You know, when it's done, it's a blast. But I make it a point to open up the back door on my patio and check the weather throughout the day. Because it's real easy to look on your phone and say, oh, it's raining. And the temperature is 40-some degrees, so it's probably pretty chilly.
Take a couple of snortfuls of it. Yeah, absolutely.
You actually walk to the door and go, oh, it is dank out there, as my brother used to say. Or it's really pouring. It's not just raining. Earlier today, it was coming straight down in buckets for a while. So it says rain on my phone.
Right.
It does not say torrential downpour. It doesn't give you those adjectives that we would call certain types of weather.
Sure. Well, and the last. And I have to admit, as silly as it sounds, it is both magical and a wonderful mental health self-help model thing that I have built. One of the Men in Black movies. I don't know if you've seen those movies or not. But in one of them, the alien character is in a fairly large humanoid body, but the alien driving is actually this little dude in the forehead with a bunch of levers like he's in a Ford truck. I literally put myself in the perspective of that little dude. And I shut my legs down and I shut my arms down and I put systems into standby. And then I literally have a screen that is everything that I hear. And I glance at it for a moment and I hear the rain and I hear the traffic and I hear the wind and I hear the whatever. Okay, those are all baseline, good, nothing there that I need to listen to. And I turn off that monitor. And then I go to the next of my senses, and this is what I smell, but nothing's on fire now. There's nothing I need to worry about. I don't need to smell anymore. And I turn that screen off. And so I literally have this process of sort of deconstructing down to the point where, when I'm all done, I climb out of Dave's forehead and I go to sleep.
Which makes perfect sense.
You know, and silly as it sounds, it's a ritual that I've done long enough that it is very soothing. It's very healing to me. Mm-hmm. It's calming.
I think a lot of the little quote-unquote rituals or whatever things that we do throughout the day that have their basis in magic. like when you put the pentagram on your door when you leave. It's a basic magic I just like. Or when I light a candle, or when I sit with a stone.
When I light incense before we do a podcast.
Exactly. And it's the thing you do every single time. Yep. We make those habits in our lives, and they become soothing in a way, because mentally they're part of our everyday. So they have taken over. They have infiltrated a house of Hesper. They've infiltrated our mundane to the point where we don't have to consciously think to do magic. We just do it.
Well, and using the case of lighting the incense before we do a recording as an example, absolutely 100% of the, 100 times or so that I've lit an incense, we have then recorded a wonderful episode and had a great conversation. So I'm not going to stop doing it.
but the intent behind it is that things will go smoothly, nothing will blow up on the computer, so that we can focus on having a great conversation.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and now it's just there. And we don't have to consciously think, okay, I'm lighting this incense to promote clarity of thought and good conversation and all the things we want. It's just part of what we do.
No, I'm kind of acknowledging now that when we get to this place, we have that clarity of thought and
yeah,
what we've built. It's ritual moment to moment.
Exactly. And I think that's the whole point. Like I said, we have distilled all of the intent and fancy reasons we do ritual and all of that into our everyday lives enough that it's all magic at that point.
Yeah.
And I think that's
magic by gestures.
I think that's a good way to end that, though.
Sure.
Is art, when you can make anything that you want that's part of your daily life, part of your magic.
Wiggle your nose. I mean, it worked for Samantha.
For several seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got two different Darrens out of the deal.
Yeah, all right. Now you're just showing off.
With that, we'll let y'all figure that reference out for yourselves. So, and he's laughing at me again. So may you find mirth and reverence in all things, David.
Be safe, be kind, and be loved.
Before we go, we would like to present you with a tip or trick or witchy hint. Just something to make your day go better, because we live in a mixture of the magical and the mundane.
In keeping what seems to have turned into a theme for this podcast, today's tip, trick, or witchy hint is a discussion of what some of I used to call triple M's, or mini mindfulness moments, and a couple of them that we use often enough that they have become part of those daily practices that Dave and I were talking about, those things that we do almost automatically that makes life a little bit more magical. When we started thinking about this, we decided that a mindfulness moment is taking that time to remind yourself that you're a magical person who needs to walk and learn to walk, balanced between the mundane and magical sides of the world outside and within you as best you can. This definition explains that this type of moment can help us remember four important points. Number one, we are magical people. Two, there are two sides to the world itself, the magical and the mundane. Three, there are also two sides to each of us, the magical and the mundane, which mirror those external things around us. And four, a major part of our spiritual practice has been learning to walk between and balance these two sides ourselves in the most effective personal manner. Now, this is not something that we do perfectly. Whenever we talk about balance, we remind people definitely that it's an ideal and not something we're ever going to get mastered completely, because we are humans and we aren't perfect. However, having that awareness and remembering constantly throughout the day, A, really makes us feel more witchy, which is always cool, and B, it just seems to make our days go better. So, with that being said, here's a couple of mindfulness moments that Sue and I really used a lot. ways to connect to both the magical and the mundane at the same time. And just remember that for a minute to be really effective and important. All you need to do is, before you go out today, take a minute to locate something small that you associate with your magical side, such as a small crystal or a little pentagram. Then find something small that you associate with your mundane side, such as a house key, if you have an extra one, or a quarter. Now tuck them into your pocket or your purse or your backpack and carry them with you until later in the day. And when you have a few minutes during your day, take the two items out and hold the magical item in your dominant hand, as in which we, and human beings, we all have tend to have a more dominant side. It's usually the one you write with. And put the mundane item in the other. Now close your eyes and take three deep breaths, one for body, one for mind, and one for spirit. Now say out loud, the mundane doesn't encourage the magical, it just reinforces itself. The magical encourages both itself and the mundane, because that's where it manifests. Now bring your two hands together and clasp the items together inside your hands and say out loud, the mundane and magical worlds are interconnected through me, because I am the best of both. Now take a few minutes to remember about those connections and feel them that are created, and gently separate your hands. Put your items away and go on with your day, enjoying your awareness that you bring the two worlds together within you just by being a living, breathing witch. And when you think about it, it's just taking that moment to remember that there's a magical side and a mundane side, and that both of them live around you and within you, can increase your ability to find those synchronicities that we keep talking about looking for, or just to have a slightly better day. Another one that we used a lot was driving and creating magic. Now, before you go driving anywhere, or you start your car, or get into whatever form of transportation you are using, especially if you're riding a bus to work or something, close your eyes and take those three deep breaths, one for body, one for mind, and one for spirit. Now open your eyes and say out loud, I drive at ease, I drive safely, I drive happily. Those around me may do the same if they so choose. Surprisingly quick and simple, right to the point. You've now set your intention and stated what happened. Your brain is now full of the magic needed to make this manifest. Set off to wherever you're going and know that it will be as you stated. When you have the opportunity, glance at those around you. Notice those who seem to be in a good mood and smile. The stress of driving can be lessened for you this way, even if you get stuck in a traffic jam or the bus is late or full of people. Know that your sense of ease, safety, and happiness, or peace, if you want to think about it, is contagious. It's just a quick way to use magic and to change how you approach the experience of getting from one place to another. You've taken another moment out of your day to remind yourself that magic surrounds you at all times and can be easily accessed for positive personal change. So when you think about it, drive may just be as bad as it was yesterday. That same traffic jam may have you sitting there, but what you've changed is your mindset. And having a magical mindset when dealing with traffic and grouchy people in the morning is always a benefit. A, they're bad. You don't catch their bad mood or become involved with their own personal brand of grouchiness. You can stick with your own if you have one. Or you may just say, okay, it is what it is. And as Dave and I stressed earlier, sometimes shit just happens. You know, the world is not out to get you because you're sitting in traffic, even though it may feel that way sometimes. And finally, we talked about when we're eating or drinking, we take a moment to pause and reflect on the fact that we have access to clean water, that we have food that we can prepare to cook and eat, and that somebody else did the work to get that for us. But when you're drinking water, especially if you're having a moment during your day when you find your energy kind of dipping, I know for me, if I don't drink enough water, that happens. And you can easily repeat this over and over as you drink water throughout the day. All right, now you're going to pause at this point with your water. And, you know, just because it's there and we can use it. Just, all you have to do is just drink your water. Savor the feeling of the water going down your throat and quenching your thirst. Imagine each of your cells being nourished by the water of life and feeling rejuvenated and refreshed. Take those three deep breaths again that we stress all the time. One for body, one for mind, and one for spirit. Enjoy how much better you feel after drinking the water, because now you have that energy boost back and you didn't have to drink another cup of coffee or eat something full of sugar to keep you going. Know that it's a gift for you from the universe, and that you can be open to other gifts that you can receive anytime. And this one is just simple, a nice drink of water. So with that being said, try looking throughout your day and see what you can find about ways to add what we call those triple M's for yourself, ones that work for you, that give you that boost of magic or awareness that you have magic at your disposal at all times. So that the next time you have a crisis, you're more likely to think in terms of magical solutions as well as mundane ones. So until next time, may you find mirth and reverence in all things. Well, it looks like the coffee cups are empty for this week. We hope you join us again next Tuesday, but you can find us at our website, twoyoungcrones.com. That's the number 2 young crones.
We'd love to have you join our growing online Discord community. Check out our new Patreon presence. Just look for Young Crones Cafe. Through Patreon, you'll be able to make it to our Discord. We are also Young Crones Cafe on Twitter and Facebook.
Until then, remember, we are witches who work with energies to affect change.
We are believers in both immanent and transcendent divine.
We are celebrants of the passage of the solar and lunar cycles.
We are hedge walkers who pass back and forth between the worlds of the magical and the mundane.
We are seekers of knowledge.
And we are walkers of a spiritual tradition we call the path.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.